Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you how you can find out how dirty or clean is your cruise ship. And travel to Cuba is curbed once again. I have some strong feelings on that subject, all next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we get tips from CAL FIRE on how to camp and travel off-road this summer season. Important information to make you a smarter and safer traveler.
In 1979, a young man who worked for a local park district started taking fans on buses to Giants and A's baseball games. Yesterday, that company celebrated 40 years in business. Clayton Whitehead joins me to talk about the story of sports leisure vacations and four decades in the tour business, coming up at 3:35.
The official start of the hurricane season is this week, and at 3:55, we have some tips on how to avoid hurricanes and their impacts on your travels.
It's 3 o'clock on a Sunday. The regular crowd listens in. There are a couple of guys giving travel tips, talking about life on the road again.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north, the rush is on.
Sunday to you, and welcome again to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thank you for spending some time with us. Mark, good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, sir.
Well, this has been a pretty big week for you guys, as we were teasing at the top of the show. It's been 40 years, and it's amazing. You hardly look more than 43. What did you, were you a... Not a young man. You were practically a child when you started this business.
Yeah, probably. But a lot of entrepreneurial folks out there in your 20s is kind of when people, and, you know, we're going to talk, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second half of the program. And I think people who have started a business or are thinking about starting one or something like that, probably not just the story of a tour operator, but a story of how to perhaps be attain a little level of success in the business world.
Well, you know, now are questions allowed when we talk about this later on in the program? Am I allowed to ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
that I think you have the answers to, because you were there.
Yeah.
But I think our listeners might want to know. You may cover it, but if you don't, I'm going to jump in and ask you a couple of good ones.
40
okay?
years is a long time to do anything.
It is. Tell me about it. I just, for those...
How long have you... You've been doing radio for all of your life.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. I just celebrated in June. I celebrated 22 years with this radio group. So let's say 22 years with KFBK.
Right.
We have changed ownerships a couple of times. I've been through about 8 different general managers. And
wow.
Except for Miss Kitty O'Neill, she's about the only one that...
She's the ever-ready bunny.
She is.
Just keeps on going. She's amazing. I mean, she's amazing. And you know what? She sounds so awesome. If your day hasn't really gone particularly perfect, you just turn on Kitty O'Neill, and it just life seems to get a little bit better. I don't know why that is, but
it's been
that way for a long time.
Good observation. And before that, you know, I put in... put it about 30 years in radio before I came here. So I'm looking at close to 50 years in broadcast altogether. I more years in radio than most people's children have been around.
Did you have to stand on the roof with that antenna thing back in the
pretty
day?
Much,
yeah.
Boy, it was. It was back in the Marconi days.
Well, you were part of the team at KCRA Radio with Johnny Hyde and stuff. We could do a whole program on that. If we don't get going here, though, we're not going to get this program done.
All right, let's do what we always do at the top of each Travel Guys radio program. We bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news, and always lots of that. Mark, what do you got?
Our friend Huey Lewis leading us into the news. news. An Indian hotel company has announced a plan to reduce water usage. Indian Hotel Company Limited, South Asia's largest hospitality company, has announced an initiative to reduce overall water use by 5% within the next 2 years across all of its hotels. Also, this chain of hotels has increased their renewable energy quotient, in other words, the amount of renewable energy they use in their system, from 7 to 23% in the last 3 years. So it looks like they're getting maybe a leg up on some other companies. About time for some of the U.S. companies to step up to the plate and say, hey, you know, we can do this too. If you enlist your guests' help and stuff, you can explain to people why it's important to turn off the lights and turn off the water and whatever.
Well, I anticipate, you know, this and how other companies that never really thought about it are doing more recycling. We find cruise ships and so forth, no more plastic, straws or bottles or whatever. You know, I think the business industry and the world is going to look a lot different. Give it 20 years.
I hope so, because at the Houston Astros ballpark slightly about 2 weeks ago, when asking someone where the recycling bin was, the answer was, we don't do that here.
Oh, man.
So we'll see. Girlfriend getaways are on the rise. It looks like girlfriend getaways are one of the hottest things in the travel business. Here are some of the top destinations for 2019. Kennebunkport, Maine. That's where the Bush family kind of hangs out. The Catskills in New York, Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, some East Coast places. If you're going back to the East Coast, instead of Martha's Vineyard, go to Nantucket. There's way less attitude there. The pricing is about the same. Nantucket is a much more West Coaster friendly place. Then, dare I say, Martha's Vineyard is not even a real... It's okay to visit there and go there and see it, and there's a lot of luxury, and people live in big fancy homes and stuff like that. But really and truly, if you want to go and look at all of the people in big fancy homes and have them be rude to you, then Martha's Vineyard is your place. Otherwise, go to Nantucket. People are much more laid back there. Okay. Let's see. Other girlfriend getaway top destinations for 2019. Nashville, Tennessee. Boy, is that a hot city. Everybody and everything going to Nashville. Sedona, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
a beautiful place in the Red Rock Country, and Las Vegas, Nevada. United Airlines is reporting record growth at its Denver hub for the first time on Thursday. United surpassed 500 departures, the first time at their Denver hub. Worst airline for lost luggage is... the worst one, technically, American Airlines. And I'll tell you why. Of the major carriers, American is the worst of the nine major carriers. And American's commuter carrier is the worst of the three commuter carriers among the major airlines. You know, when you go and you fly and it says operated by Republic Air or operated mm-hmm. by Trans States or whatever it is for United Airlines or for Delta Airlines. Well, United has ExpressJet mainly. Delta uses a lot of SkyWest. American uses a lot of Envoy. If you want to keep your luggage from getting lost, stay on mainline flights. Because the three worst for mishandling luggage, this is per 1,000 passengers, Envoy Air is 6.5. Out of every 1,000. Southwest Airlines is 6th. ExpressJet is 6th. American is the worst of the legacy carriers at about 4.5, and then it drops off. Delta Airlines has the best record, and all the others are in between. But the message here is the more you fly on the commuter carriers, the better chance you have of your luggage not getting to where it's going.
There you go.
Cuba. The president has announced the Trump administration has banned cruise ship from sailing to Cuba from American ports. This is really sad news. The Cuba situation, which kind of opened up under the previous administration, and then we kind of cut back on that and said, well, you know, people are kind of skirting the rules here, which they were, to go to Cuba. And so Cuba isn't really an adequate part of the international community. I'm not trying to be a politician here. I just think this is really sad. Cuba is a really great destination. The people of Cuba have been incredibly welcoming to American visitors. Also, the dollars that go into their economy from tourists there are really important. And Cuba is somewhat of an isolated country. It's a great, great, great culture. People who have gone there have come back and said, wow, what a great destination to go to. And it just seems a shame. All over the planet, we're sending the message to people that screw you. We're not we're not interested in whatever. And I think it's a huge mistake. As a tourism person, I see slowly but surely the interest in the United States, in coming to the United States or having visitors from the United States, which is what I'm more interested in because I'm taking people to these countries. And I don't want them to say, well, you know, you don't want us coming to your place. So the heck with you. We don't really want you coming here either. And nobody wins in something like that. So I wish that everybody would just take a step back and realize that there's just the one planet and we all share it. And maybe being nice to each other. I mean, I get being a hard line and being a tough guy and stuff like that. The immigration situation is messed up to all over the place. But really and truly, telling countries, sending a message that, yeah, you're on the list. No, you're not on the list. Yeah, you're on the list. No, you're not on the list. Nobody wins. Nobody wins when that happens. And I just don't know what to say. We're tipping the TSA $1 million a year. Did you know that, Tom?
No, I had no idea.
Do you know how we're doing that?
Let me guess. The spare change that we leave in those bowls.
Oh, you're a smart man.
Yeah, got into a conversation with my wife about this the other day. At that time, I didn't know that the TSA, the question we had was, mm-hmm. who gets to keep it? Whose change is it? When you put your change in the bowl, a lot of people, what you're going to point out, I'm guessing, is that they don't pick it up. So the TSA gets to keep it.
Kind of, sort of. Okay. They collect it. All that extra money people have left over the years has a destination. Congress passed the law in 2005 saying the TSA can spend it on a civil aviation security project of its choosing. So it all gets logged and put into a bank account.
How much?
And it's used in the past. The money has been used to expand TSA pre-check services and translate security signs into other language. Largest airports in 2017, JFK collected $72,000. LAX $71,000. Miami $50,000. Total amount collected last year we have is 2017, $960,000.
That's
just in
great.
Spare change left on the TSA. All right, from the headlines comes this story. How dirty is your cruise ship? The CDC is telling us they have listed a whole bunch of cruise ships here. Cruise ships with a perfect score include Brilliance of the Seas, Celebrity Summit, Rhapsody of the Seas, Norwegian Gem, Disney Wonder, Seabourn Quest. There is a list of all of these at TravelGuysRadio.com. There are about 20 of them. A couple of Holland America ships on here, the Nordam and the Amsterdam. Cruise ships are cruise lines that scored not satisfactory. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A couple of them are from major cruise lines. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can see the list there from the most recent inspections. And you can find a link in that article that will take you and allow you, if your ship is not on this list because it wasn't in the most recent set of inspections, you can find your ship by following that link. This is kind of cool, Tom. I think this kind of came from your side of the neck of the woods. A Roseville band is going to kick off for the Rolling Stones on their new tour.
Yes. Our buddy Steve LaRosa sent us an email on this.
Yes.
I think he's helping with some of their promotion. But yes.
Yeah, on their No Filter Tour, which is coming to Santa Clara on August the 18th.
What's the band's name again?
The band's name is Vista Kicks.
I think they're on tour in Europe right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Sacramento indie band. So
amazing.
Congratulations to them. That's a pretty big deal. If you fly into LaGuardia Airport, you will be happy to know, particularly if you fly United Airlines, that they have shifted their operations to 5 brand new gates in Terminal B. LaGuardia has been a mess for 2.5 years, but it looks like that mess now is starting to turn into some nice new concourses. If you remember, it was then Vice President Joe Biden who called LaGuardia Airport a third world airport, and he certainly was not off by much. So they're doing some things to improve it. And finally, in the travel news, show us your tweets before entering the USA. The U.S. government has announced a policy where applicants for U.S. visas are asked to disclose their social media handles. Sounds like a fairly good security idea to me. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Remember, visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to all we talk about you'll find there, plus lots and lots more. Coming up next on our Smarter Traveler segment, we're joined by Cal Fire Scott McClain to give you some tips to make you a safer and smarter traveler while camping this summer. That's next on the Travel Guys.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's that time of the year again. It's time to bring in Scott McClain with CAL FIRE, talk about safety and protecting yourself and our forests while you're out enjoying your traveling and your camping this summer. Scott, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Well, with our folks planning to hook up their trailers mm-hmm. and their boats and all and head on out into the wilderness, out into the forests, why don't you take a moment and
sure.
give them some advice, Scott?
Let's start with the vehicles. Let's okay. start with the tow vehicle, and then we'll move to the trailer.
Okay.
Make sure your tow vehicle is properly maintained. Make sure that oil is changed. Make sure all your fluid levels need to be, you know, where they're at. And also look at your tires. Make sure they are aired properly.
Now, you brought this up before. Why is that?
Because we've seen too many fires start off the roadside by improperly filled tires, because the tires will fail if they're not properly maintained. And that'll drop down that rim onto the asphalt or the cement and cause sparks.
I see. So if a tire going flat, it's not well maintained or loses air, and then that rim hits mm-hmm. the pavement, then you get your spark. Okay.
Right. So make sure there's no chains dragging. Make sure there's nothing dragging underneath that tow vehicle as well. For your safety, again, make sure it's properly maintained so you don't break down along your way to your campground. We'll move back to the trailer. Same thing pretty much applies. Make sure your tires are good, plenty of tread, properly aired. And that's what we find on a lot of these trailer tires, is they do deflate or they're improperly filled, and they will fail on a regular basis. And again, we have a spark causing a fire. Make sure nothing is dragging. Make sure everything is secured that is attached to the outside, that nothing falls off, causing a spark as well.
Now, when you arrive at your location,
mm-hmm.
what do you look for when you get ready to park your vehicle?
Make sure you're parking your vehicle in a safe location. Look up, look down, look around. By that, I mean look up. Make sure there's no branches overhanging that are dead or could possibly fail and fall on your trailer and cause injury. Make sure that you have ample space to get that trailer in, and you have ample space to park all your other vehicles and to have a campfire or picnic or whatever within that same area as well. The reason you want to do this is to make sure that you can leave at a moment's notice in case there is a fire in that area.
Now, if you're going to go camping and you do plan to have a campfire, mm-hmm. there's some things that you need to do ahead of time to make sure that it's
right.
appropriate for you to have a campfire at that location, permits and so forth. Let's
right.
talk about that a little bit.
If you're going a long distance to go camping in a state or federal forest, for an example, make sure of their rules and regulations before you get there so you're not going to have any surprises. Get your campfire permit. You can do that online. PreventWildfireCA.org is a website that you can go to. Get all this done well ahead of time, again, so you don't have those surprises. When you have your permit and it's a permissible campfire area, when you get there, make sure there is a campfire ring and a dedicated area for your campfire, and then make sure there is no debris such as vegetation, dead, dying leaves, or whatever it may be, 10 feet away from that campfire, around it in a circular fashion.
Now, we've talked before, and I want you to address this for mm-hmm. our Travel Guys listeners here, in regards to the firewood that you use for your campfire.
Yes.
What about it?
You need to make sure you buy the firewood that is from that location. If you start, as you can imagine, transporting your firewood from home or from other areas, it could have insects. What you're doing is you have the potential of transporting these insects, which will cause disease and, unfortunately, long-term, you know, kill some more trees. We already have 147 million dead trees in the state due to the drought and bark beetle infestations.
Now, we've talked a lot about this before. People think they know, but why don't we get it from the official horse's mouth, if you will, the proper way to make sure to put out your campfire.
And that is very, very important. You need to take that extra time to make sure that campfire is out before you leave. By that, if you have some ashes left, make sure you stir them and add some water. Continue to stir it, add some water. Continue to stir it and add some water. Then put your hand down, the back of your hand, just above those coals or ashes to make sure it is cold.
I always take my shoes off and kind of walk around in it for a little.
Okay, well, you're a little strange, but that's okay.
Okay, our listeners know that for sure. Last but not least, even though this is not related directly to going out and camping, I think we've covered that pretty well. Mm-hmm. But since I have you here, let's just take a moment and share with our listeners, in case they haven't heard it, the defensible space back home. What do you do, if, particularly if you live in what would be considered a urban area, a rural area, rather, mm-hmm. where you have some brush and so forth? Give us the defensible space speech.
Defensible space needs to be started early on in the year. If you own a home or any structures in those rural or urban areas that will be affected by a wildfire, you need to take the time, because this affects your home, your family, as well as your community. You need to make sure that you have non-combustible material 5 feet away from your home. We'll talk about your home. Nothing that will catch on fire to transmit that fire up to your house. From that 5 foot out to the first 30 feet, make sure your vegetation is fairly sparse. Make sure your brush is spread out pretty dramatically. Make sure your trees do not have any dead or dying branches in them. Cut those out. Make sure there's no dead or dying branches leaning over your house as well, or even your chimney. Make sure that the limbs on those trees are limbed up. You know, if they're very large trees, at least 6 foot, because you don't want the fire to promote up in those trees. And those limbs are what we call ladder fuel. They will promote that fire up to the crown of the tree. As you work progressively out to that 100 feet distance, make sure your grass, if it is involved, is 4 inches or lower or shorter. Make sure, again, your brush is thinned out. Make sure your trees are limbed and anything dead or dying is removed.
Scott, before we let you go, is there any final thoughts, something you want to tell our listeners that about camping and such to keep them safe?
Sure do. I mean, just like we describe evacuations from your home when these wildfires strike, as they do, also when you're camping, know your area. Be cognizant of your area. Know how to escape in case a wildfire does come your way while camping, whether you're backpacking or pulling that trailer.
Know your way out.
Know your way out.
All right, all right. And last but not least, if you spot a fire, what's that number?
911.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Welcome to the Travel Guys, and we'll see you next time.
Coming up next after the news, we take a look back at 40 years of Sacramento's premier tour company. The story of sports leisure vacations next on the Travel Guys.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And in studio with us, Clayton Whitehead, also with Sports Leisure. And we told you before the break and went into the news, we were going to talk about and kind of reminisce, if you will, about the 40 years of Sports Leisure Vacations, which originally started as Sports Leisure Travel, and Mark can talk a little bit about that. But it goes back. This is a company that's almost a part of an institution here in Sacramento. There aren't many businesses today that can here in town that can say that they've survived 40 years, especially 40 years pretty much doing kind of the same thing, only a little better each and every year, I have to say. Mark, I want to ask right off the top one of the questions that I alluded to earlier, and that is, what inspired a young man who had a background in working for Parks and Rec and had a stint with the ownership of a minor league basketball team and running guns to Mexico and probably a lot of other odds and ends? You know, obviously you have an entrepreneurial spirit, but what was it? What was the moment that said, you know, I think I want to rent a bus and take people places?
I worked at the Mission Oaks Recreation and Park District in 1978. The voters of Sacramento passed the property tax bill, the Jarvis-Gann bill, which limited the way property taxes were collected and changed it dramatically and limited the amount of property tax that people would have to pay. Park districts, which is where I worked, got their income, their revenue from property taxes.
I remember that. In 76, I bought my first house and I was amazed when I saw my taxes go down. And what you're saying is that cut into the Park and Rec's money, huh?
Well, it did. All the special districts, water districts, fire districts, park and recreation districts, they got their money by going to the county and saying, here's our budget.
Good for me, bad for you.
So when the faucet didn't have as much water coming out. There wasn't as much money to go around. So the park district cut staff. And one of the things that I did for them was ran adult sports leagues, softball, basketball, volleyball. And the people who played in those leagues paid fees, and those fees covered everything that the cost of the league. So I got fired on Friday, and on Tuesday I got a phone call saying, we'd like to rehire you to do what you did, but you'll be an independent contractor instead of an employee. And suddenly I had a lot of spare time. One of the things I'd done for the park district was organize their trips to when the kids went to Marine World, or once a year we did a baseball trip, and once a year we did a basketball trip. Mm-hmm. Whenever they had something where residents of the district were taken outside on some activity, Mark was the guy who organized that. So I knew that there was a demand for people to take buses to baseball games. I decided to start doing that. The first trips cost $16 for the bus and the ticket. To give you an idea, a similar trip today, depending on what team the Giants or the A's are playing, costs between $130 and $180. So a lot of the people on the first trips were people who played in the sports leagues. They were younger people. They didn't always conduct themselves real well publicly. They went to the ball game, had a lot to drink, and, you know, whatever happened, happened. A bus driver one day said, you know, this specialized service with a tour director on board and refreshments and stuff would probably be really well received by a certain demographic.
So it was one of the bus drivers that kind of planted the seed.
It was. And he said, you know, the seniors who take the buses to Reno and Lake Tahoe and stuff would probably love this kind of service. And at the time, the casinos offered a deal where you got a rebate on your bus ticket and a food coupon.
Sure.
And you were stuck there for 5 or 6 hours, right. And that gave them a chance to get their money back. So it was a great recreational opportunity for folks who were retired, and you could take the bus to Reno or Tahoe. It was a scenic ride. If you didn't want to gamble, you didn't lose much. And if you did gamble, why, that was, you know, your own adult decision. That's the way we started. The people on the buses started saying, well, gee, you know, what about Hearst Castle? Have you ever thought about going to Yosemite or some of these other places? And ultimately, that's what we decided to do. So we have always been, Clayton, I think you would probably agree with this, we have always been a very customer-driven company. I mean, we've always asked for feedback from our customers, and we've taught them that we're listening, so they tend to give it pretty freely.
Absolutely. The company, or our business model, is so unique. I don't think anybody, including us, could do it today from scratch and have any success whatsoever. But we've listened to our customers. We've evolved with them. They've evolved with us. We keep a real open dialogue, and we're here because this is the company they wanted and they want, and hopefully we'll continue wanting for a very long time.
You know, Tom, people often say, and this happened at we had an anniversary luncheon this weekend, and people say, well, you know, the reason a lady came up to me yesterday and she said, the reason that I travel with your company is that you're fair and you're honest. And so I guess I would tell people, would say, well, you know, and that sounds maybe a little bit self-serving, and it might sound fairly simplistic to a lot of people. But, and I would add a third thing to being fair and honest with your customers, is that if you have a community full of people that you expect to support your business, then you damn well better support that community. You better figure out some ways to be philanthropic and to do things that reach out and touch the community, so that the people who travel with you or who do business with you, whether they are part of the people who are being touched or not, can see what the philosophy of doing, especially if you're a local company.
Very good. Yeah, that's smart business. You know, a lot of times people in business will kind of make it up. They'll say, oh, well, you know what? If you come and buy a car from us, we'll donate $50 to your favorite charity. And in reality, they're using it as a marketing ploy to get you to come and buy a car there, and which is wrong. A lot of people can see that as pandering, and it doesn't work. But you know, one of the things about sports leisure vacations is all of the things that you do behind the scenes. It's not something that you advertise. It's not something that you wear on your sleeve. You just do it. And your customers, they find out about it on their own.
They
appreciate what you do.
And I want to say something here, not so much for myself, but on behalf of my staff. The people who work at Sports Leisure Vacations work really hard to give people the very best product that they can. And I think that our customers recognize that. And I think they appreciate that. And the way they show their appreciation is by doing business with us. And more importantly, by referring us to their friends.
Now, for 40 years you've been doing this, things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
and over the years, I mean, what is of the things that have changed in the way you do business, what particular things have stayed the same?
Wow. What has stayed the same?
Well, what people want to do. I mean, people went to, by the hordes, to Reno and Tahoe casinos, retired folks, older folks, people with weekday days off in the past. Now we don't even, now we run one bus to the Cache Creek Casino once a quarter, and it never fills. So there are a lot more choices for people now. And the millennials, wouldn't you say the millennials have changed travel forever by bringing the experiential part of it to the forefront?
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano here on KFBK, underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations, by the way. And we just happen to be talking about and celebrating 40 years of business. Clayton, as you were.
I think with travelers today, as opposed to their same age peers 20 years ago or 40 years ago, they expect, yes, more experiences, more real things, more things that they not only can't get on their own, but didn't even know existed on their own. And as a specialty tour company, as opposed to a company that's doing series tours, you know, multiple tours to the same destination, which kind of by definition have to run in a particular way and be a little bit more by the plan and a little bit more cookie cutter. Our tours and our staff in creating and in execution have the opportunity just to decide something sounds cool and then just do it. I mean, even when you're out on the road, maybe you go buy a lemonade stand that a fifth grader's running. Well, you can just stop the bus and get out and buy lemonade.
Have you done that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've randomly stopped at a Dairy Queen and gotten everybody an ice cream sundae. I've randomly stopped at a roadside market and gotten everybody boiled peanuts. I can't say that they liked them, but they had the experience.
Mark is known for finding an ice cream stand and stopping somewhere along the tour. So yeah, isn't the great thing is that we don't really have rules. I mean, we do, but we visit destinations once or twice a year. We're not running 20 tours there once a week and everything's cookie cutter. And dare I say, no two Sports Leisure Vacations trips, even to the same destination, have ever been exactly the same.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And you allow, from what I can tell, you allow a lot of free time too. I mean, you're structured, but you're not. I mean,
we do. When I came here from having been a tour operator on the East Coast, value was judged by how much you packed into an itinerary, and literally how tired, if not one step away from dead, a person was when they got home. If they were exhausted, they felt they got good value.
Yeah.
And a real cultural change I had to make when I came to the West Coast was that this is a vacation we're selling. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we changed our name from tours to vacations. We're selling vacations. And rest is a component of a vacation.
Very
socializing
true.
With the people you're traveling with is a component of the vacation. Staying in really nice hotels and then having the time to enjoy them and enjoy the amenities they offer, that's part of what a vacation is. So we build a lot of freedom into the itinerary, also a lot of choices.
Yeah.
Like on my upcoming Thanksgiving in New York trip, I don't make everybody go to the same show together every night. People get to choose the shows they want to go to, and I'll arrange the tickets for them. By the way, Tony Awards tonight at 7 o'clock on CBS.
Let me break in for just a second. We took, as an example of how things are different, 2 weeks ago on a mystery tour in Washington State and in the town of Walla Walla, we took people to a marijuana dispensary. And why did we do that? There's this thing called, many people have heard of this. Heck, they're on the counter at the gym now. CBD.
Right, CBD.
It's a pain-killing salve or ointment, whatever form it comes in, that you can use, and that's very effective. And a lot of people with aches and pains and stuff like that are using it. So we took our people specifically to one of these places so that they could listen to someone tell them how this stuff works, that you can buy this pain medication that doesn't get you high, or you can buy pain medication that does get you high or whatever. And it was fascinating to see all of the people getting feedback in a place that, and just watching this happen and knowing none of these people would have gone to this place on their own. But now they're learning something that might make their life a little bit better.
There you go.
The last time I did a trip on Route 50 Where was I? Somewhere in Nevada. Was it Elko? There is a
Ely.
There is a house of
a bordello.
A bordello. That's the word I was looking for. But there's a bordello there that will let a tour group come in an hour before they open and meet the girls and see the facility. And I think it's safe to say that not a single one of my travelers would have been there on their own, or at least they'd never admit it. Well, with that group, I'd say nobody would have been there on their own. But, you know, that's a part of the culture of Nevada. And if we're going to study the state and drive across 50, well, going to a bordello was a totally appropriate thing to do.
Great idea.
And the people really love the experience.
The thing is to show people things and take them places that they wouldn't go on their own, help them meet people and have experiences that truly are, you know, and this sounds a little bit corny, but the planet's best chance, hope for survival, is that we understand each other a little better. And the way we understand each other a little better, I've always said, it's maybe it's a little simplistic, but it's really hard to drop a bomb on a man's house once you've had dinner there. You know, once you know a guy and his family, why, you know, it's you don't want to hurt those people. So it really, travel is what one of the things that brings us together.
Awesome. Well, I tell you, that's here we are, saving the planet one sports leisure vacations travel trip at a time.
Talk about saving the planet. We're on a baseball tour a week ago, and we go into a place, and the place gives us drinks, and everybody has a plastic straw in their drink. And two of our people in the tour just said, well, this is just ridiculous. They handed us these straws. They didn't even ask if we need these. These are polluting the planet, you know.
Were you in Texas then?
Actually, we were in Houston.
There you go. they're a little slow to catch on.
Well,
no offense,
but it's everybody's got their thing. You know, in California, we're starting to become more aware of, I hope, of how to take care of the planet. So it's... We deal with mostly mature travelers, active mature travelers, and people say, you know, what's the secret of success? I always thought when I started in business, you know, people said, well, the customer is number one, and always make the customer, you know, always put your customer first. Well, that's not quite accurate. Your staff is number one. The people who work for you have to be first, because if you put them first, then they will take care of your customers. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone. If you have good people and you treat them well, then they will treat the people that you need to make money off of well. And the other thing is, we've always had really nice people who have traveled with us. People comment frequently. We have a lot of single travelers, a lot of single ladies who travel with us, and they say they travel with us because they feel safe and they feel secure and because they're well treated. And why should they not be?
And because we have fun.
Yeah, that's it. We do. We have as much fun as anybody. Anything that you want to share here before we wrap this up?
I just want to say that I've been here 26 years and it has been an awesome run. And I'm looking forward to at least 26 more.
Well, I've been here for all 40, and it has been an incredible experience to making people's dreams come true, whether it's taking them to a baseball game for the day or taking them halfway around the world. It's really a privilege to be a person in a business who gets to do that for a living.
We're talking about sports leisure vacations. Our underwriter, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, Clayton Whitehead, thank you guys. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to, hurricane season's, it's this week, and we're going to share some information and some tips with you to help you avoid hurricanes and their impacts when you travel. That's next.
Building a better...
Come away with me.
Mark and Tom, the travel guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, into our final segment. Mark, thanks to you and Clayton for spending a little bit of time talking about your 40th birthday for Sports Leisure.
Well, and thanks to all of the Sports Leisure travelers who might have been listening in. And we don't often do that on this program, take time out and get a little bit self-serving, but
once a year,
something like that. In fact, sometimes people say, why don't you mention the Sports Leisure Vacations products more often? Well, because we're a legitimate program here, and we're trying to. Speaking of legitimate programs, the hurricane season has started. Starts the 1st of June every year, runs until November the 30th. The peak period is late August through September. I repeat, the peak period for hurricane season is late August through September. So when you see places in the Southeast offering incredible hotel deals for the last half of August and September. There's a reason that they're offering that. And you'll find out that reason when you make the reservation and make your deposit or your prepayment, and then you have to run from the hurricane. So just be smart. Think about this. Do your homework. Storms are intensifying a little bit. There are higher risk destinations. The entire state of Florida, the New Orleans area along the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic coast as far north as Delaware, and of course, the Caribbean, Western Cuba, the Northern Bahamas, some places like that. Think about the fact that when you travel, you may not be going to a place that is known for hurricanes, but when a hurricane comes ashore, or a major storm that was a hurricane in the ocean comes ashore as a tropical storm or something and works its way across 5 or 10 or 15 states, it has a tendency to disrupt travel pretty seriously. So I always tell people, if you're thinking about flying out of Atlanta from the 1st of August to the 1st of October, the answer is try to figure out another way. Go a different way. Try not to. You may see some great rates for hotels in Charleston and Savannah in September. Well, the reason that they have those great rates is because a lot of the people who are smart enough and who know enough wouldn't even consider going to those places at that time of the year. They would prefer to go in the springtime or to go at some other, to go in the summer, earlier in the summer, when the humidity may be bad, but the risk of hurricane is not so much. So the point here is that there are high-risk destinations. Some policies, some travel insurance policies will sell protection for something like a hurricane or a natural disaster. But be very careful if you're buying one. Make absolutely certain that that's in there. Read it yourself. Have your travel advisor read it to you. Make sure that you're covered, and also know that in many cases, coverage like that is for a credit, not for a cash refund. So if you have a cruise scheduled, they'll give you a credit for the amount that you paid the cruise line that you can use in a designated period to cruise with that company again. So be careful about really be careful about scheduling major trips in September, in August and September to the southeastern part of the country. And remember, folks as far north as New York City were severely affected. Hurricane Sandy just a couple of years ago, which caused some pretty serious damage there. So it's more in play now. This serious catastrophic type weather stuff is more in play. Be smart. Don't go someplace where the weather is historically bad at the time that you're going to go.
I would think that cruises particularly ought to be avoided in that part of the country at this time of the year.
And why would you say that, Tom?
Well, you know, I mean,
because the water might be kind of rough.
Yeah, it might be. And, you know, I mean, if you're staying inland, you've got a hotel in Florida, your opportunity to get away are a lot better than if you're out in the middle of the ocean.
You could be 100 miles from the hurricane or 150 or 200 miles from the hurricane and still feel the effects and still have it mess up your itinerary because you're headed for the place where the hurricane is, or you're headed for the place where the hurricane just was. And now that place isn't quite so attractive. Anyway, at TravelGuysRadio.com, you can find all of this information plus everything we covered in the travel news, most of the things we talk about, and you can sign up for our podcast. And there's one other thing I have to say. Dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, that's it. We're the Travel Guys. See you next week. Stay well, my friends.
He never has the time to turn around.